Amen. Amazing grace. Unending love and amazing grace. What a great way to usher into this morning's message. Now, I understand I'm a father of five. I have five kids, four girls and a son. So I know what it's like to have a lot of children, and I know what it's like to have a lot of children in your car. So knowing that, I am not going to be preaching for an hour. Knowing what you're going through right now, you've already been here about 30 minutes, the kids in the car, and I understand that you guys can only withstand so much in one car with your kids. So having said that, we have a great message, because every message from God's Word is a great message. Every message from God's Word is a message that holds truth and it holds hope. And I'm going to be preaching from God's Word this morning. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to give you my thoughts this morning. I'm going to give you truth from God's Word. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 2. The title of this morning's message is Christ Alone. Isn't that why we're here today? We're here today for Christ, right? We're not here today because of you or me. We're not here today because of what our church can give you. We're here because of what Christ has already given us, and we're here to worship Christ alone. So the title of this morning's message, Christ Alone, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved." Grace is something that God gives you that you do not deserve. Now, let me tell you, God has offered you the same thing he's offered me, and I deserve it just as much as you deserve it, which is we don't deserve it at all. God offers salvation, for by grace are you saved. Salvation comes by grace. It's a gift. You can't buy a gift. If you buy a gift, it's no longer a gift. You can't earn a gift. If you earn a gift, it's no longer a gift. God says, "I want to give it to you freely." It's by grace that we are saved. So I see 3 points that I'm going to be talking about this morning in Christ alone. In Christ alone, Christ alone paid for our sins. Christ alone conquered death, and Christ alone guarantees salvation. It is Christ that paid for our sins. It is Christ that conquered death when he rose from the dead. And it is Christ that guarantees, that offers you salvation where no one else can. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we see our first point under paid for sins. Self-righteousness will not impress your friends or your God. You know, there's a lot of people who go to church and they're a little self-righteous, right? The way they dress, the way they act, the way they talk, the way they look at you or don't look at you, the way they shake your hand or don't shake your hand. They're self-righteous. They think that they're better than everyone else because of what they have done. Well, you're not going to impress people with a self-righteous attitude. People aren't going to look at you and say, "Wow, you are so much of a better person than I am." Probably what you're going to do is turn people off. You know who else you will turn off with your self-righteousness? You'll turn off God. Because God's not impressed with who we are. God's not impressed with what you're wearing. God's not impressed with how you look. God's not impressed with how much your haircut costs. God's not impressed with how shiny your shoes are. God's not impressed with how much you know. God's not impressed by your righteousness. So let's forget about self-righteousness and let's focus on the righteousness that Christ offers. Because, folks, it comes down to two things. Either you can try to get to Christ and heaven on your own through your own righteousness, and you will fail because the Bible says salvation comes by grace. You cannot work your way to heaven. Or you will attempt to get to heaven through the righteousness of Christ. So how about you? You got to make that choice at some point in your life. Will you make the decision to trust in yourself, self-righteousness, to get through this life, to get to heaven? Or will you trust in Christ, Christ's righteousness, to get to heaven and to get you through this life? Christ paid for your sins. Stop trying to be self-righteous, because we're not impressed. No one here is impressed with self-righteousness, including God. But I'll tell you what, God is impressed with the righteousness of Christ. And God is pleased when we accept his righteousness and stop embracing our own good works. Letter B, I see under paid for sins, Christ's death on the cross is the only price that covers sin. Christ's death is the only thing that covers sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we're told, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It is Jesus Christ and his death on the cross that paid for your sin. So as we just said, self-righteousness, right? No one's impressed with that. If you say, well, I want to pay for my own sins to get to heaven, well, yeah, you will pay for your sins, but the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So if you want to pay for your own sins to get to heaven, you can't do it by being baptized. Baptism doesn't pay for sins. You can't do it by going to church. Coming today to this service is not going to get you to heaven. This drive-in service does not guarantee you a spot in heaven. Going anywhere to do something good for God doesn't get you to heaven. I'll tell you, there's only one person that gets you to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. The wages of sin is death. If you want to pay for your own sin, if you want to be self-righteous, the Bible tells us in Revelation that if we die without Christ, we'll experience a second death. And that second death is in hell for eternity. That's where we go if we want to pay for our own sins. We pay for our own sins by going to hell. Now, that's not a choice I want to make. I hope it's not a choice you want to make. The other option is to let Christ pay for your sins. If you let Christ pay for your sins, now you have the opportunity to go to heaven, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is salvation. And it's who through? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we see letter C, the greatest act of love is self-sacrifice. The greatest thing that anyone could ever do for you is to sacrifice themselves on your behalf. Let me tell you, if you've got a friend who regularly sacrifices for you, that's a great friend. If you've got a spouse who is constantly sacrificing for you, that's a great spouse. If you've got a parent, if you've got a child who says, I don't care what I need, what do you need? What can I do for you? That's a great person to have in your life. But I can tell you right now, whether you have a spouse, a friend, a child, or a parent like that, you've got a God like that. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to come to earth not so that the earth can serve me, but so that I can serve the earth. Jesus Christ came to serve you. How? By dying on the cross. The greatest act of love is self-sacrifice. It's not a rose. It's not a box of chocolate. It's not cleaning the room. The greatest act of love has always been self-sacrifice, and the greatest act of self-sacrifice is to lay down our life so that others could live. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He laid down his life so that we could live. Jesus Christ proved his love for you on the cross, Romans 5:8. But God commended or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God doesn't love you because you're good. God doesn't love you because you're here today. God doesn't love you because you go to a church. God loves you because he is good. And God loved you way before you ever loved him. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, I just quoted it, that God loved you and showed you love before you loved him. While we were still sinners, while we were still walking away from God, God from a distance said, I love you, will you come to me? I love you, will you walk to me? God loves you and has always loved you, regardless of how you think about him. What a great God, that he doesn't love us for who we are. He doesn't love us because we're good. He loves us because of who he is and because he is good. Our first point, Christ alone paid for our sins. Point number two, Christ alone conquered death. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Again, if you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 15, and we're going to be looking at verse number 17 through 20. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17 tells us, it's a very famous passage. I'm sure you'll recognize it when I read it. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Fallen asleep means those who have passed on, those who have died. In verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. That idea of first fruits means Christ went first. Christ paved the way so that we could follow behind. Where did Christ go? Well, Christ went to heaven. So Christ died, conquered death, rose again, and then made a path to heaven, going first, so that we, when we die, can follow behind him to heaven. Christ went first. Now remember, Christ alone conquered death. That's why we're here today, right? We're here today because Christ conquered death. We're here today because it's Resurrection Sunday. We're here today because Christ rose again. That's right. Amen. That is why we're here today. As Christians, we believe that this is not the end. As Christians, we believe there is something after this life. As Christians, we believe our God is not dead. Our God is alive. Our God rose again. And our God did that for you. Now let me explain something. God has always existed. God's eternal. God did not send his son to die on the cross, raised again for God. God already was eternal. God did it for you. God did it for your children. God did it for our grandchildren, our future nieces and nephews. God did it because he loves you. And God conquered death on your behalf. Death had no hold on God. Death had a hold on us. And so Jesus Christ came to this earth to break that hold that death has on us. So that when we die, we can follow Christ who went before us to heaven. Letter A, conquer death. If Christ had not risen from the dead, our faith in a dead Savior would be pointless. Well, Pastor Russ, how important is it that Christ even rose again from the dead? How important? It's everything. If Christ had not risen, we would be serving a dead God. And a dead God can't help you. And a dead God can't help me. But we don't serve a dead God, do we? Again, God's not dead. He's alive. And we are grateful. We should be grateful every day for that one thing. There are so many things right now that can consume us and cause us to be worried and scared and bitter and upset. So many things right now that can get us focused on negativity. Let me tell you something, folks. Today, God's alive. Let's remember that. Today, God conquered death. Let's remember that. Letter B, Christ's death provided the payment for our sin. Christ's resurrection provided the victory over death. Now look, when Christ died on the cross, he paid for our sin. His death was the price that God accepted so that we could be righteous in Christ. So that we could, when God sees us, God saw Christ's righteousness on us and he forgave us of our sin. So our forgiveness of sin is due to the fact that Christ died on the cross. So then why did Christ have to raise again? Because forgiveness of sin does us no good if when we die and go to hell. You see, forgiveness of sin allows us to be seen by God, forgiven. But conquering of death allows us to raise again and go to heaven once we die. There's two parts to that, you might say. And Christ accomplished both. He paid for your sin on the cross, and he conquered death when he rose again. And then letter C, for the Christian, death is not the end of life, but rather the beginning of eternal life. Look, I'm not looking forward to death any more than anyone in this parking lot. None of us want to die. None of us are looking forward to death, but I can tell you right now, for the believer, death, the Bible refers to death as just falling asleep. For the believer, death is not the unknown. For the believer, death is a hope and a promise of eternity with God. For the believer, death is just a temporary, very short time of sleep. And then we wake up in the arms of Christ. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What does that mean? When our spirit and our soul exit from our physical body, the very next step is presence, connection, eternal presence with God in heaven. Folks, Easter is one of my favorite holidays. Now look, there's a lot of great holidays. Valentine's Day, I have a beautiful wife. I love Valentine's Day. We spend time together, go out to eat often. 4th of July, I love our country. I love America, and I love 4th of July, and I love celebrating 4th of July. But let me tell you, I don't love any other holiday close to the way I love Christmas and I love Easter. Christmas and Easter, why? Well, Christmas is the holiday we as Christians celebrate the arrival of our Savior. And Easter is the holiday we celebrate the victory of our Savior. Amen. And we as Christians live in victory, not defeat. And our victory is not because of what we've done. Our victory is not because of what we're doing. Our victory is because of what Christ already did on our behalf. Died on the cross for your sins. Now, folks, before we move on, I want to say this. Just because God died for you doesn't mean you're going to heaven. God died for you so you could go to heaven. But the choice is yours. Will you accept the payment of Christ? Or will you seek, as we saw in our first point, will you seek to be self-righteous and try to get yourself to heaven? Finally, number three, Christ alone guarantees salvation. You know, I've talked with a lot of people over the years, and I've asked them, hey, do you know if you're going to heaven? And you know what most people say? They don't know. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven, but I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Well, I can tell you this. You can know that you're going to heaven. How do you know? You don't know because I tell you. You don't know because you feel like it. You don't know because someone else told you so. You can know you're going to heaven if the Bible tells you so. Because it is the Bible that is the ultimate source of truth. It is the Bible that can guarantee a promise, and you can know that promise will be fulfilled. Christ alone, through his word, guarantees salvation. No one else and nothing else can do that. I see in John 14:6, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Christ says. Hey, you want to get to heaven? I'm the way. You want to know the truth? I'm the truth. You want eternal life? Christ says, I'm eternal life. No one else can offer that. Nothing else can offer that. Christ alone guarantees the way, the truth, and the life. Christ alone offers the only path to heaven. He already paid for your sin by dying on the cross. He already conquered death by raising again. Will you trust the payment Christ already offered? And will you accept his righteousness on your life? And stop trying to work your way to heaven. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Works will not get you to heaven. Good works cannot guarantee your way to heaven. Christ guarantees your way to heaven. Letter B, Christ promises salvation to all those who trust in him. Christ promises salvation to everyone that trusts in him. In Romans chapter 10, if you have your Bible again, you can turn there. Romans chapter 10 in verse 9, we read, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God offers the only path to heaven, and God promises salvation to all those who trust in him. Let me explain something. Trust is not knowing God exists. Trust is not knowing he died on the cross. Trust is knowing what he did, and then trusting in what he did to be enough to save you. And you say, Pastor Russ, how do I know that's enough? Well, in Romans 10:13, we read, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13, that same chapter you're in, go down a few verses. Whoever, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done. God doesn't care. What God cares more about where you came from is where you're going. God cares about where you're going. You say, well, God would never save me. You don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. I don't care what you've done. I know what God did, and I know that what he did is enough to pay for everything you've done. And God says, you want to get to heaven, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in what he's done. Don't just believe it. Don't just know it. Trust in it and say, you know what? Christ promised salvation. Christ said he would save me. I believe him. I trust in salvation through Christ. And God says, you do that, you are saved. And let us see, and we're done. Our last point, Christ desires that all join him in eternity. You know, there's people I've heard say, well, God's not a loving God. Otherwise, if he was, everyone would get to go to heaven. God is not loving because he allows some to go to hell. Let me say this. God is a loving God because God provided a way for everyone to go to heaven. And God is a loving God because in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible tells us, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God desires that every single person get saved. God died on the cross so that every single person could be saved. So for those who say, well, God's not a loving God because he allows some to go to hell. No, listen. God is a loving God because he allows us to choose. I'm going to end with this. Would God be a loving God if he forced us to do what he wanted? Would that be love? Have you had people in your life who force you to do what they want? A friend? Maybe someone in your life in the past, maybe someone now, that you don't get a choice. You're forced to do what they want. That's not love, folks. That's abuse. Love is when an opportunity is offered and you have the freedom to decide what you want to do. That's love. And God said, I'm not going to force anyone to go to heaven, but I am going to give them the choice. And I'm going to give them the opportunity to go to heaven if they choose me. God is love. God is the essence of love. The greatest act of love is self-sacrifice. And Christ sacrificed himself in love for you. And God loved you before you loved him. And God loves you enough to give you the choice. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to join God in eternity? Or do you want to walk away from God? The choice is yours. Do not tell me that God hates you because he sends some to hell. The Bible said God created hell for Satan and his demons. God did not create hell for you. God never intended for you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell, 2 Peter 3:9. God created heaven for you and hell for Satan. But God said, I will let you choose. If you want to join Satan in hell, the choice is yours. But please, I prefer, I want you, I beg of you, join me, God says, in heaven. And God made a way so all could be saved. John 3:16, right? We all know it. Even folks who don't go to church know this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, we're going to end where we started. And here's where we started, self-righteousness. I am tired of people who go to church with self-righteousness. Now, I say that. I'm a pastor, and I say that. How about you? Are you tired of that? Are you tired of people who walk around with self-righteousness? I am. And I can tell you this. God is. God's tired of it. Let's give up our self-righteousness and let's embrace the righteousness that God promised us through his son, Jesus Christ. Can you pray with me as we lift up the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Dear Lord, you are so good. We thank you so much for what you promised us, salvation through Christ. Thank you for not only dying for our sin, but raising from the dead and conquering death on our behalf so that when we die, we also can join you in heaven. Thank you for this day, this opportunity. In spite of the chaos, your people can still come together and worship you. Lord, we love you. I pray you keep these people safe. I pray they'd have a fantastic day as they spend time with their family now and make memories. But I pray that the rest of the day and this week, our minds, Lord, I pray you'd help us to focus on you and the resurrection of your son, that we would look to our future with you and not get so caught up in what's going on right now in our lives. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Resurrection Sunday!